The following program is for entertainment and basic informational purposes only. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, WPRV Radio, its management, or staff. This is Rhode Island's longest-running financial talk show, Money Talk with Steve Beauvais. With market insights and so much more, talk to Steve now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. This is Money Talk with Steve Beauvais.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talking business. I'm Certified Financial Planner Professional Steve Beauvais on Wednesday and Friday nights. Our program is here every evening at 5. We have a team of four of us that do the program, Donna Grace Soa, Allard. My name is Stephen Beauvais. And Wednesday night, you hear my son joining me, soon to be certified financial planner practitioner also. Hey, the markets were up again today. The Dow closed above that 22,000 mark. NASDAQ above 6,000. Nice. Up 11 for the day. We tend to get a flat market this time of year. It seems to be moving up this time around. Very exciting time to be in the financial world. I would be somewhat careful. Things have been good for quite a while, and that usually means, you know, the weather's coming at some point. Weather's not good forever always, right? The founder of Investor's Business Daily magazine wrote, William O'Neill, wrote quite a few good books, which I read them all, on how to make money in stocks. And I wanted to make a suggestion tonight to any of you who like to speculate and invest in individual stocks, check out those books by William O'Neill. I thought they were really, really good. Again, the markets were positive today. Here we are in August, you know, two-thirds of the way or so through the year. Some of the toughest months are coming, however. Calendar-wise, the majority of the downstrokes come in the market. We're coming up on them right now. August, September, October, in that range seems to be where it happens. Right before the sweet spot begins, which is the best 6 months of the year in the calendar, usually. That's October, you know, through March. So right now, if you have any gains at all in your account, you should be grateful, because normally we don't have too many stock gains this time of year. Again, the gains seem to be in the fourth and first quarter primarily. The two middle quarters of the year, people on vacation, they're doing taxes, they're distracted, maybe, possibly, from other things. And it does have an impact on how things behave. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talking business. 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. I've been pounding the table over this IRS publication, Topic 409, for quite a while now. I've been using it for a few years now with my clients, and it's a tax code that allows many of us in the middle income ranges to get some tax-free dividends that you didn't know about. It's an incentive. Domestic dividend exclusions are designed to give you a reward. If you invest in an American company that pays a dividend, you can get a reduced income tax rate on that dividend. And possibly it can even be tax-free if you are in the 10 or 15% ordinary income brackets. And you can be in those brackets with an adjusted gross income of up to about $75,000, which means you could probably have an income of, you know, $85,000 and maybe qualify for some of this. I won't go into the great details tonight. I've done it already a few times. We're having a CPA on August 16th. Mike McCone is going to join us, the tax expert, which I'm not, to come in and talk about this. It's a little known part of the law. I think it was a negotiation. You know, one party was trying to negotiate lower long-term capital gains rates. And so they just negotiated to lower them across the board, and they lowered them down into the zero range. So if you check out the IRS websites and tax charts under long-term capital gains and domestic dividends, you should find in anything you look at that if you're in that 10 or 15% federal bracket, those dividends might be tax-free. Not all dividends. They've got to be dividends from American companies' stocks. Bonds don't qualify. Foreign companies don't qualify. So General Dynamics, you know, GE, Procter & Gamble, all the great American companies, if you own those and you're receiving dividends, at the end of the year, if it's not an IRA account, you will receive a 1099, which reflects all of those dividends. And what almost no one notices is that there's different columns on that form because different circumstances tax dividends differently. So your domestic qualified dividends should show up in your long-term capital gains column because they're taxed at the same rate. I see an opportunity for people in retirement here in Rhode Island, couples or single person, whatever, you know, to take advantage of this tax law, move some money out of the bank where it's making half of 1% and taxable, and maybe get 3, 4, or 5% and not pay taxes at all on it. What an improvement that would be, right? If you're in your, once you get into your 70s, I'm 58, so it's not that far off, a little change in your budget, like $500 a month like that, can really change someone's life because at that age, later in life, usually debts are paid off. There's not a lot of interest in, you know, eating, drinking, going out, that kind of thing. So a nice increase like $500 a month can be quite a life changer for older folk. Now, when you're younger, that's a big spending period in your life, so that's it probably wouldn't change too much, that amount of money. But for someone that's older and frugal, it can mean quite a difference. Hey, I get a lot of articles. I got one last week cut out of a newspaper by one of my long-term favorite clients, Larry. We'll just call him Larry. He's a very humble man. I won't mention his name, but he's probably listening tonight. He's a big fan of the show. Larry, thank you again for another great article that you sent me to share with my listeners. This was probably out of the Pawtucket paper because that's where he hangs out. And it's from your military life. And it's a story about a young man. He's an E4, how he traveled. And it's just a story on how you can, if you really try to and you're serious, you can save money. Here's this young man on a very light military pay traveling the world and saved $11,000 out of what he made while he was traveling. Of course, if you're traveling, you're probably sleeping in the marsh, right? No hotel rooms and things. But anyway, it was a great little article, and I thought it would be interesting to note this very, very young person has a base salary of about $2,400 a month, and he's saving $500 a month into a Roth IRA, $200 a month into a bank account, and 10% into his thrift plan. So sometimes we see an example of somebody who, doesn't earn a lot, is having a great life, and is also saving money at the same time. And when you're younger, whenever I've tried to motivate younger people to save, I usually get the same response every time. And they react like I said, save everything, don't have any fun. It's not what I said. I said, don't be at either end, right? Don't have all the fun and have no savings, and do not save everything and have no fun. Don't do either, you know. So when people are, that's how they react. When people are spending out of control and they need help from the outside, if you ask them that, that's how they'll respond. They're very, very defensively. Like, it's not me. I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, if you're single and you make $78,000 a year and 10 years go by and you haven't saved a penny of it, you know, you're doing something wrong because that's enough money to save something, you know. Now, if you're making $12,500, I understand. You know, I've been there. Or $20,000 baseline in America today, but a lot of people make plenty of money to save, and they don't. We all know, those of you that are my age, we all have a friend or a neighbor or a family member who every time you talk to them, they just bought something else. Every time, every conversation, it's something else. And all those things that you know, you're not needed. The needs and the wants thing is a big issue, seeing as this is the Money Talk Show. The people who have trouble with money, I have noticed over, and I've known a few of them, even within my own family, they confuse needs and wants. The people who seem to not have money problems are very clear on what the needs and wants are. My daughter has a little joke she asks me once in a while to show me that I raised her well, she says. She says, Dad, ask me what I need. I say, what do you need, honey? She says, water and air. And that's it. Everything else is a want, you know. And that's pretty obviously exaggerated to make a point. But I do think if you can, I asked a client once why they thought they were so broke this year, and she said to me, well, we had to go to Bermuda. And I said, you had to go to Bermuda? You see my point, folks? Okay. People who have money trouble twist words. They kid themselves about money. I've known a few of them who actually are in denial, I guess, like somebody who was in denial with any other type of habit, I guess. I have met people over the years who spend, you know, like an alcoholic drinks. There seems to be some sort of an emotional kick to it. I don't get it at all. It's not my nature, but I know people that have kind of displayed that sort of stuff. And, you know, a little bit of it's okay. But you don't want to be 54 years old and have a house full of electronics and no retirement account. That's not good, right? Life best lived is life well balanced. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790. We are your station for talk and business. We are here every evening at 5 p.m. Tune in for Don Sowa, Donna Grace Sowa, Allard, myself, Steve Bove, and my son, Nathan Bove. Now, next week, Don will be away, a little getaway for the boss. And so I'll be here almost every evening, and we're going to try to bring Nathan in, the young man, give him a little more playing time, you know. This is the Money Talk Show, folks, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Yeah. I get a kick out of that. Welcome back to the Money Talk Show. This is your station for talking business, AM 790, 437-5000, 1-888-345-0790. Podcasts available always at 790business.com. August 16th, CPA Mike McComb will be here to talk about topic 409. Those of you, if you have any money that you sitting in a bank, this is be a good show to tune into. Be aware of what you have in the bank. Always keep money in the bank and never invest your emergency money. Keep it there. But if you have extra money in the bank that you don't need in the bank, and I've met a lot of people like that in the last few years, but they don't know where to go because they're afraid of the stock market forever now, and they've heard that bonds are dangerous when rates rise, and that's true, the traditional type bonds. There are other types of bonds like short duration and floating rate and maybe high-grade corporate that are not so much of a risk, but there are some bonds that are very risky right now, and you wouldn't think that because they're bonds, right? But anyway, on August 16th, Mike will be here. You could get your tax return out that night. The front page, I think, is the last number. Adjusted gross income is what we'll Mike and I will be looking for. And those of you who have an adjusted gross income below a certain level, and we'll get into the details that night, qualify for some amazing things that you just don't know about. So it's really that show on August 16th is about investing after-tax money in a tax-advantaged way. And it's very, very effective, and it's something that very few people are aware of. I constantly have meetings in my office with folks who have money, non-qualified money, meaning it's not a retirement account. And we talk about, you know, long-term capital gains and special dividends and Topic 409 and tax-exempt bonds and all ways of getting a tax advantage on that money. They oftentimes look at me like they've never heard any of it before. It's a whole other field. In the era of investing with an understanding of income tax implications, it usually takes an old goat like me to have enough experience to do that stuff. But there's quite a bit of opportunity out there for couples that have an adjusted gross income below $70,000. And I think in retirement, that's most of you. There's a great opportunity here. So please tune in on August 16th, in addition to every other night of the week here on the Money Talk Show, for my good buddy, Mike McComb. CPA. Mike won the blind golfers contest a few years ago. These are the golfers that have limited vision, of course, you know. Hey, I heard last week on the news anticipating a very large demand for pilots. Primarily because there's a lot of them in the age group that are going to be retiring soon, and there's not that much demand there. I would think that's a tough job. Huh? You have to travel a lot, be away from home. It'd be fun if you're single, right? Imagine being a pilot and being single. Equally as exciting as a drag it would be if you're married, I think. So, you know, so that's what, maybe that's why it's tough to get people into it. That's a tough job if you're married, I would think. You're traveling an awful lot, you know. Anyway, a few years ago, I shared with you a website that our government offers us, Department of Labor and Statistics. And it's just that, labor and statistics. And if you visit that website, you will learn all about where the opportunities are, where the anticipated growth is, and what feels, what the average income is by region of the country, by profession. You know, what does an electrician make in California? What if you know what you want to be and you're good at it and that's not the question? You could go to that website and find out where's the best place in the country to live if you're an electrician. Where do they get paid the most? If you're a nurse, if you're a financial advisor, you know, whatever. But it's a great little resource. I wasn't really aware of it. And thank you to my very bright daughter, Turen, for giving us that one. You'd be very surprised, folks, that some of the best ideas on the program have come from family members, clients. We're surrounded by great people that always love to throw ideas at us, and we tell them we love to have them. So we love to have ideas. Our job here is to be here every evening and report the news and bring you things of value. We've been doing it now for 25 years, and we plan on doing it for quite a bit longer. We think it's an important role to play. We try to deliver the information in an unbiased way. You'll notice we give you phone numbers to call this station to talk about your needs, but we don't offer you numbers to call us at our office. We do that on purpose. We don't believe in connecting the show that way. If we do a good job on the show and you need somebody like us, you know, maybe you'll look us up, right? That's how aggressive we are with it. Retirement distributions. This topic of 409 on August 16th is going to be a good one. So again, if you have any money you can invest that's not in an IRA account, and I don't mean the $10,000 you keep for emergencies. That should stay where it is. But if you have more savings than you think you need, and it's earning nothing, and it earns not nothing but 0.5%, then you pay taxes on it at the highest possible tax rate, ordinary income rates. Imagine having money sitting somewhere earning 0.5% and it's taxable when you could be making 4% tax-free. What a difference. If you're 68 years old and you make a financial decision that increases your cash flow by $500 a month, as I mentioned earlier in the show, it makes a big difference. My last meeting of the day was with a long-term client, and we were discussing that $500 a month. At 77 years old, it's a lot of money because people are frugal and don't spend an awful lot later in life, usually. So anything you can do to take advantage of the laws that they're put there to help you. The Topic 409 tax law was put there to reward people like you and I, not to reward wealthy people, but to more the working folk here in our country for taking a risk and investing in either long-term capital gains or American companies that pay dividends. And in order to give you a reward or motivate you to make investments, the government feels it's a good idea to give you a little reward for taking that risk. And that's how you can invest this way and get some really nice tax advantages that you probably are not aware of right now. It's a funny system. These dividends show up on your 1099, and then you give it to your accountant or you do it yourself on TurboTax, and it just goes kind of into the system, and your software knows based on your AGI, whether you qualify or not. So this could all be happening in your life, and you don't even know it. And that would be good to just be aware of it, because then you can be grateful for something good. But what I'm really talking about is those of you who are not participating in it right now, don't own any dividend-paying stocks. There's a heck of a tax incentive. If you're a couple, and there's many listening right now, I'll bet, who are retired and have an income of about $4,000 a month, pretty typical here in Rhode Island, you could add on to that about $20,000 worth of dividends. That could be tax-free to you, tax-free. And, isn't it nice to see a tax break for the middle class? This doesn't apply to people that make $400,000 a year. They still got to pay the big ticket. It's designed for couples up to $75,000 and singles up to about $50,000. So it's really meant to benefit the middle class, and it's very frustrating. I haven't been able to get the message out of doing it in my practice and with clients and anyone who I handle who has cash money to invest. Surely we look at the tax laws and look at the client as well. What's their bracket and what would be an advantage? I own some tax-free bonds for the first time. I'm 58 years old. I'm smiling because that's something you do when you get a little older, you know. 3% tax-free, I like that, you know. I wouldn't like that when I was 30, 3% tax-free, but I like it now. But not all of your money, of course, but cash money. Don't use munis in your IRA account. That's foolish. But there's tax-free bonds. There's all sorts of special dividends you can invest in. Some pay 3, 4, 5%. Some you pay regular tax on. Some are tax-free. Some are partially taxed. I have a portfolio in the office that I use with clients. It's called Conservative with Tax Advantages. So we're trying to make 3, 4% per year for older folks that want to be careful. But we're trying to get that 3, 4% dividends with tax advantages. So it comes into 3 or 4% with tax advantages, ends up being like 5, 5.5 equivalent. It's a very nice way to get a, to get income right now, at a time when investing for income is the most difficult it's ever been. The investments that pay income have never paid less than they do right now. Can you imagine 20 years ago, if you retired, you could take all your retirement money and put it in a CD, and maybe you could get 8%, and now you get half of 1%. Think of the difference. If you were fortunate enough to retire when CDs were 8%, you didn't have to take any risk after retirement. Everybody today has to. Yields are so low. Now, if you're happy with 1% return, I can give you a portfolio that has almost no risk. But then you have to pay me, and then you'll have nothing. So it doesn't work at the low end of the yield curve, you know. I think most of us need to make 3, 4% on the money anyway. If you're younger and you have longer-term items, you know, shoot for 8. But when I'm choosing investments, I seldom choose one unless it has a dividend of 3% or higher. I occasionally see one in the 2s, but it's pretty rare. So a 3% dividend is a pretty good investment return over time, especially if you get it with a tax advantage. Well, 3% tax-free or tax advantage will make that return equivalent for you of making, you know, an equivalent higher rate of return. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talking business. We're talking about taxes a little bit tonight, and I'm trying to encourage you all to write down August 16th and join us for real heavy-duty tax night here on the Money Talk program. I'll be right back.
This week, enjoy Art Smart products your family will eat up.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talk and business. August 16th, write it down. It's going to be a really good show. Because I really believe that an awful, enormous amount of you can benefit from that show on August 16th. It's a tax law that affects an awful lot of you. I know that. So not everyone, but a big part of it. So check it out on August 16th. Have your tax return with you. You can call us if you like, and Mike and I could chat with you. You don't have to give us. You can even give us a different name if you like. You know, you can change your first name or tell in your room. We don't care. I've talked a lot about over the past 3 years, especially as I developed this theory of mine. My own retirement. What do I do? You know, 38 years experience, 5 times Rhode Island Monthly top wealth manager in the state. What do I do with my retirement money, right? I do a little of everything. I do some what's called a simplified employee pension, which would be like your 401k, pre-tax IRA. I do some Roth to have tax-free, and I also do some after-tax investing. Because when I get to retirement, I don't know what the tax laws are going to be. But if I have 3 different types of retirement accounts, I can play the cards very wisely. As an example, right now, if you had a third, your retirement, regular retirement, third Roth, and a third, like a regular brokerage account, and you started to retire, and you heard about this topic 409, you could take your withdrawals from your Roth, which are not taxable, and still qualify for 409. So you can, by having 3 different types of retirement accounts, we don't know what the tax laws will be like when you retire or the 20 years after you retire, right? Think about how much change can occur there. If you have different types of accounts, I think it's very wise. I really do. So I think it's a good idea for those of you who are, if you're doing a 401k plan at work, make sure you do some Roth. Most of the folks I've talked to who have the option, including in our office, our staff, chose mostly 50-50, half in pre-tax, half in Roth. I like that. You get a little tax break now, and you get a tax break later as well. But when you retire, if you have some Roth, some regular IRA, and then some, you know, regular cash investments, boy, you're in a driver's seat. You can make the withdrawal from whatever account is going to be the best for you under 3 different tax examples. 1, ordinary income. 2, Roth tax-free. And then on the cash account, you would have domestic dividend exclusions and long-term capital gains. So I do believe it's a mistake to have all of your retirement money in one type, any one type. Yeah, matter of fact, one of the more awkward things I see is people retire with every penny is in retirement accounts, 401k IRA. And so what if you want to buy a car and you want $20,000? You got to take out $35,000, right? Because every dime that comes out is fully taxed at the highest possible rate. So when I get to retirement, I need a car. I will withdraw the money from my Roth or from my brokerage account, and I'll pay cash for it. And I'll probably buy it 2 years old. I don't know. Maybe I'll buy one new one, right? Maybe in the end, you know. I bought one new Jeep along the way. I wasn't happy with myself for a long time. It was really, it's not a good move when you're younger and trying to build your wealth. Today in a meeting in the office with a client who's retiring, congratulations. You know, we've been working together for 25 years. He never buys new cars. And I said to him, well, you know, what about now? You did it. You're there. You got enough money to retire. Now, if you want to buy a new car, I'd say go do it. But if you did it along the journey, you just made your journey a lot more difficult on how to get there. So I would suggest that you have a variety of retirement accounts. Now, that doesn't mean two different IRAs. It means different tax consequences. Traditional retirement accounts are taxed at ordinary income, which is the highest rate on the street, on every dollar that comes out. Roths are not taxed at all, and your brokerage account will be taxed gains only. If you put $40,000 of principal in there, well, you can always retrieve that $40,000 tax-free. Only the gains will be taxable. We've been hearing about energy lately. I want to share something with you. I think you'll get a kick out of this one. Energy, when the markets are up doing well and the Trump effect and all these things we're hearing, energy was down quite a bit. But guess what? In the last month or so, it's performed actually better than the stock market. It's up about 2%. I think it bottomed. I think prices have bottomed there. You can invest today in some very cost-effective ETFs. IGE is one of them. iShares North American Natural Resources Fund has a small dividend, maybe 2%. But oil prices are very, very low right now, and I think there's an opportunity there. Again, if you bought ExxonMobil right now, right, maybe the price is nice and low. The sector's out of favor for a while, and you'll get your dividend. And ExxonMobil has a nice dividend. And many of you that are listening, that dividend might be tax-free for you, believe it or not. Let's take a look at ExxonMobil. Don't have a lot of clients that own that. It's down quite a bit. The energy sector's down quite a bit. And dividends, when share prices are low, dividends are high. And we like chunky dividends. XOM, there we go. ExxonMobil. Yeah, 1 year share price is slightly negative. Let's take a look here. 3 years. Yep, 3 years was $100 a share 3 years ago, down to 80, but 3.84% dividend. Almost a 4% dividend, and it might be tax-free. Can you imagine? Amazing, huh? August 16th, folks. Tax time on the Money Talk Show. IGE, take a look at a lot of these new modern exchange-traded funds. They are, in my opinion, only the most effective way to invest today. About 80% of all new money that's coming into the professional realms, like myself, is going into ETFs. But they're not without problems. If you're going to do these things on your own, be very careful. You could purchase a mutual fund, these new mutual funds, because it's new and exciting and has a nice title, you know, and I can understand that. And then they don't raise enough money. You buy the fund, and 2 years later you get a letter in the mail that says, we never raised enough money to make the fund run profitably, because it has to be a certain size to make a profit, right? You bought the shares at $10, now they're $5, and they close the fund on you and send the money back. And you have to sell it, and you lose half your money. So be careful what you purchase. You need to make sure you purchase something that's going to be around later. Investment companies can close the fund if they want to. If the share price is down at that time, you're going to suffer from that. Now, there's other ways of transferring to other funds and riding it out, but it's complicated. But take a look at energy right now. If you are looking for something to add to your portfolio, take a look at energy with a dividend. ExxonMobil, 4%. IGE, which is a broadly diversified energy ETF, has a dividend about 2% or so. And for the 1,000,000th time, do not trust these websites to make a big decision. It can be very wrong. Now, I haven't found them to be wrong on share prices, because that's what trades all day. But I have found them to be very wrong on dividends. I'll give you an example. I shared this with you before. I have many long-term clients I know very well. One of them, particular guy, Paul, he's a riot. We talk him at a review meeting. We bought some of these mutual funds to pay these nice dividends because he wanted dividend income. And about a few days later, he calls me and says, "Hey, pal, I can buy junk myself." No, this guy's a karate expert. He's a friend of mine. He's been my client for 20 years. He's going to come down and give you a karate chop, he says to me. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I went on Yahoo Finance, and I looked up this mutual fund hat that you said was so great, and the darn thing hasn't paid a dividend in 12 months. You told me it paid a nice dividend of 4%. I said, "It does. I own it. What you're reading is wrong." And he said to me, "How can that be that wrong?" I said, "I don't know. Ask them." But the wording said that the fund had not paid a dividend for like 3 years. It was completely not true. And, of course, I said to him, "Now, do you think for 1 minute, Paul, that I would have recommended this to you without thoroughly checking it out first?" And he said, "No, of course not. I'm just having fun with you." I said, "Well, don't karate chop me." But anyway, this information can be radically inaccurate. Make sure you go to the horse's mouth. If you're looking at mutual funds like BlackRock, go to the BlackRock website. Whatever you see there, I assure you, is very accurate. But a general financial website like Yahoo Finance or even my favorite, Big Charts, and those, I'm going to call them ancillary facts, can be very, very inaccurate. The share price tends to be okay, but the dividends can be off like that right now. So don't trust it. Don't make a final decision based upon that. Not too often I see something that really strikes me as enlightening, only because I've been doing this for an awful long time. 87% of a bond's performance is attributed to its starting yield, and today that's about 2.5. So that means 87% of the long-term return is dictated the minute you buy it, and that makes sense. Because right now, if rates are rising, traditional bonds are going to have some price problems. Short-duration bonds, floating-rate bonds, total return bond I'm neutral on right now. Looking for a third category in that area. The idea to never own anything that doesn't pay a dividend is very, very attractive. My clients like it a lot. Everything in the portfolio pays a dividend. That way, if it doesn't go up, you're still making money, right? If you have a 3% dividend on your portfolio, and you have $500,000, you could take $15,000 a year out in dividends. And the account doesn't have to even grow to do that. And income-producing investment, think of it as an apartment building, you know, rentals, like four units. If you were to buy that investment property, you would buy it for the rentals, for the income. That's one way you make money. And you also hope, right, that if you keep it for 10 years, it'll go up in value. And that's how income investments work as well, like these bond funds and things, is you get the dividend always. It's not guaranteed, but it's fixed. And the growth is speculative. Sometimes you'll get it, sometimes you won't. But you will not get it in a long bond if you buy them right now. So be careful if you're purchasing bonds. Stay in the short to mid range of longevity. Anything that says it's 20-year bond is going to get going to have a lot of trouble, I think. The next 10 years could be the worst decade the bond market's ever seen. Now, why would you say that, Steve? That's a pretty radical thing to say. Because the previous 10 years was the best years, the best decade ever seen in the bond market. Why was that? Because interest rates were falling. When interest rates are rising like now, it's not an easy market for traditional bonds. Now, every now and then I say this, and the following morning I have a client in my office saying, you know, "I have these bonds on my account, and I heard you say last night that these bonds, well, you have the right kind of bonds in your account. The kind of bonds I'm talking about are the ones we don't want to own right now, and we don't. So don't be concerned if you're one of our clients. The long-term bonds were removed from your account a couple of years ago. Bond prices and interest rates are inverted. They go the opposite way, and they always go the opposite way. They're lockstep. There's very few things in the world of finance that work that way. So when interest rates are rising, the price of traditional type bonds are going to go the other way, in a down mode. This is the Money Talk Show, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Talk with Steve Bove, exclusively on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to the Money Talk Show on AM 790. This is your station for talk and business. I hope you had a healthy week, first of all, you and those you love. Money is not the most important thing in life, clearly not, but it's somewhere on the list of somewhat important things. So it's a good thing to have knowledge about, right? I would think if you were born with a natural head for money, yahoo, that's a pretty good thing to be naturally good at, right? I always thought being a house builder is a cool thing to be naturally good at. I don't know. I wouldn't want. I have at my house in Smithville, I have every tool necessary to build a house. Still can't do it, which means it's not about knowledge, right? Not just about having the tools. It was one of my favorite little ditties about 15 years ago. I mean, it goes back that far. One night I was here on the show, and a caller called up and said, "Look, I've been listening to you for a while now." I said, "Thank you." He said, "I really like your show. I think you guys are great." I said, "Thank you." He said, "I think you're a big man, Stephen." I said, "Thank you." He said, "That's why I hope you won't be offended by what I'm about to say." And I thought, uh-oh. And what he said was, today in this modern world, there's a lot of information available on investments and things like that. And he was very professional. I wasn't bothered by this call at all. And he said to me, if I can get the mutual funds like no load and stuff, you know, why would I go to a professional like you? What do I need you for? Is what he was saying, right? And I thought there, and I just thought with my heart. I wanted to be as sincere as I could, and that was what came to my mind. I said to him, "I live in Smithfield." He said, "Yeah." I said, "In my garage, I have every tool necessary to build a house. I still can't do it." And he got my point. And the point was, just because you can mechanically go buy a mutual fund, does that mean you know which one to buy? Of course not. You know, come on. It's silly. Emerging markets are the number one performing investment in the world right now. You're hearing about the U.S. stock market that's up 10% year to date. Emerging markets are up 20, double that. You're not hearing a word, really hardly anything about it at all, right? It's not too late, especially if you're young, to get a little dose of that in there. Emerging markets tend to do well when rates are rising here in the U.S. 87% of a bond's performance is attributed to its starting yield. That's true of traditional bonds. Remember, we don't own those right now. I don't own, personally, any of them, and clients don't own any of them either. Not that having some wouldn't be a problem, but I'm pretty extreme on this one topic. Bond categories are short duration, 3% dividend, and floating rate, you know, 3.5% dividend. Those will go up with interest rates. The floating rate will move the quickest because it has the shortest durations, year and a half on average. The short-term bond fund is maybe 3-year maturity, so that'll take a year or two for rates to change there. But eventually, with a delayed reaction, these bonds and things will have higher dividends. Some of them, if they're the wrong category, however, will have price suppression in the other direction. So be very careful right now. Bonds, my son Nathan, who's not a kid, of course, he's a grown man, but he's relatively young to the profession. And one of the things he keeps saying to me is how complicated bonds are. He studied stocks more probably than bonds, and they're exciting in their basic makeup, you know. But bonds can be very, 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 very confusing because there's two things going on. And some stocks pay dividends too, but relative to the long-term performance, dividends are a small piece of the pie, where in a bond, the dividend is the majority of the pie. So that's why dividends are different with stocks and bonds. With stocks, the dividend represents usually a small piece of your return, where with bonds, it tends to be the other way around. Stock dividends are higher than bond dividends for the first time in my career. Imagine that, 38 years, never before could I get higher dividends from stocks than I can from bonds. That's why I think these dividend-paying stocks are a real great thing to have right now. Many of you who have cash money can tune in on August 16th to Mike McCone, CPA, and I talking about the IRS publication 409 that allows many of you that are listening to invest in special things now, not just anything. They are going to be American companies that pay a dividend. And because you're an American, and it's an American company, our government has sought to give us a tax advantage if we choose to do this, to motivate and reward us for taking a risk in our fellow American. So it has to be American. That's why the word domestic dividend is in that name. This is the Money Talk Show on AM 790, your station for talking business. We hope you have a good weekend, and weather's going to be pretty good. Again, a Monday evening, Don Soa. Normally, I'll be here next week pretty much every night, but normally we have Don on Monday night. Don and his daughter, very interesting show, my favorite. That's my night off, so I'm home. Don and Donna Gray, these are friends of mine from my lifetime, you know. Wednesday night, of course, financial history night on the program. My son Nathan, who, like me, is a very much a history buff. I just love history, and I despised it when I was young. And ketchup, too. I don't know why. But now, as a grown man, I really find history fascinating. And if you're in my field and you have a love of history, wow, because that's what research is, people. It's studying history. And the people who in the financial business who are history buffs, I think they have a real advantage over those that are not. Because when you enjoy doing something, you do it better, you do it more efficiently, you do it more often. And if you love history, you like research. And so I happen to like both of those things, and so does Nathan. That's our Wednesday night show. Thursday night, of course, Don Soa, usually solo here at the mic. And I wrap things up here on a Friday, as usual. Hey, I want to thank you all for being here this week, listening to us tonight, but mostly for joining us for about 25 years here on the Money Talk Show in Southern New England. We have, as you've been noticing, younger people than us in place. That means we plan on continuing. We don't plan on ending our journey when our careers are winding down. We are working very hard to train these phenomenal young people that we have here that you hear on Tuesday and Wednesday night. We have an office in Lincoln of other phenomenal people. Daniel, our office manager, Daniel Soa, also Kim Thompson and Wendy Fiola, our super-duper unbelievable assistants in the office. I just felt at that moment they needed to get a little pat on the back. That's a great job they do, and because they're not on the microphone, you know, you folks don't hear their names. They're our support people, and they are invaluable to us. So to Wendy and Kim and Daniel, that is not at the microphone. Thank you for all the things that you do to make this show happen. And you don't get much credit for it, so we're going to maybe work on that and a little more often, give a shout-out to our staff and all that they do to help us with that. Tune in Wednesday nights for the Money Talk History program with my son Nathan. And August 16th, as I mentioned, we have a guest coming in, local CPA, a tax expert on this. Also a very interesting guy to talk to. Mike McCone won the American Golfers Tour a few years ago. He was the best blind golfer in America. Has a limited sight problem. Can see short distance. I don't believe most of them drive. You know, that's the type of limitation that they have on that. So not only is he a fascinating guy, he's a heck of a good CPA. He's a client of mine. He's my CPA. So I know this person very, very well. I want you all to meet him. You've already met him before. But I want to bring him on now and use his tax expertise. So August 16th, Mike McCone right here on the Money Talk Show. Take out your tax return and a copy of IRS Publication 409 that night. You may be very surprised. Have a good, safe weekend and tune in Monday night for me this week on the Money Talk Show at 5 p.m. Have a good night.
Folks never adjusted to the great big world. I see them lurking in bookstores, working for the public radio. Can the babies around, the sack on their back, moving careful and slow. It's money that matters. Hear what I say.